We turn now in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We're reading this morning verses 1 through 23. It's continuing in the 1 Corinthians after Paul has been talking about the wisdom of the world, which is, when they look at the preaching of the word, is foolishness to them. And thus we are fools for Christ's sake. And so now in chapter 3, he continues, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we'll start in verse 1. These are the words of God. "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual men, but as to men of flesh, as to infants in Christ. I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, for you were not able to receive it. Indeed, even now you're not yet able, for you are still fleshly. For since there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not fleshly? And are you not walking like mere men? For when one says, 'I am of Paul,' and another, 'I am of Apollos,' are you not mere men? What then is Apollos? And what is Paul? Servants through whom you believed, even as the Lord gave opportunity to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God was causing the growth. So then neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but God who causes the growth. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, but each will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. According to the grace of God which was given to me, like a wise master builder, I laid a foundation, and another is building on it. But each man must be careful how he builds on it. For no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each man's work will become evident, for the day will show it, because it is to be revealed with fire. And the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. If any man's work which he has built on it remains, he will receive a reward. If any man's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. Do you not know that you are a temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If any man destroys the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, and that is what you are. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you thinks he is wise in this age, he must become foolish, so that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness before God. For it is written, 'He is the one who catches the wise in their craftiness.' And again, 'The Lord knows the reasonings of the wise, that they are useless.' So then let no one boast in men. For all things belong to you, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all things belong to you. And you belong to Christ, and Christ belongs to God." Those are the words of God. So here in this chapter, chapter 3, Paul begins to bring down the hammer, we might say, and he'll continue that in the coming chapters. He's bringing down the hammer even more on the church in Corinth. They're still living fleshly lives instead of lives by the Spirit, despite their obvious belief about themselves that they are very spiritual. And so because they're still living by the flesh, evidenced by their jealousy and strife among them, the division among them, he shows them that he hasn't even fed them food. He's just been feeding them little things like milk to drink, because they're still infants in faith. And so he's just giving them the foundational core truths, the gospel, of Jesus Christ. They claim their divisions as a point of pride. I am of Paul, they say, or I am of Apollos. But Paul is clear, though, that such are just mere servants, Paul and Apollos, through whom they believed. They were the instruments used in the Lord saving them, the Corinthians, from their sin. And we need to remember this constantly in our own lives. The preaching of the Word, the proclamation of the Word, is the preaching of the Word of God, not your own Word. And so when we evangelize, you're not evangelizing with your own Word. You must be evangelizing with the Word of God so that you can be like Paul or Apollos, the instruments through which the Lord saves people. And the Lord saves people, we know, through His Word and by His Spirit alone. So we need to remember this constantly. It's not any man or servant who should receive credit for salvation, but God alone. God is the one who causes the growth. So even in salvation or sanctification, God is the one who is the one who's doing the growing. And yet the servants are servants of God according to the labor, their labor for the Lord. And it applied to us, even though we don't cause growth, we are still laboring for the Lord. At least we should be. And according to your labor, as an instrument of the Lord towards that growth, you will receive a reward, it says. Why? Because we are God's fellow workers, and the church is this field, is the building of which we are building, or which we're working and laboring in. And so Paul is communicating this to the Corinthian church, and he says how he came to them as a minister of the gospel. He came as a wise master builder laying the foundation. The foundation we know from other parts of Scripture and here is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's Jesus Christ Himself, he says. And that foundation, which was entrusted to him and now being passed on even to our current day about 2,000 years later. And so he's saying here, we are building on top of that foundation. And in some sense, we're building the same thing, or we should be, the gospel of Jesus Christ, proclaiming it. And the service that is put into the kingdom of this building work, it will become evident if it is built upon Jesus Christ or not. If it's not built upon Jesus Christ, therefore, if it's not built upon the Word of God, it will become evident because it will be burned up with fire if it is not. It will not last. It will be destroyed. It will be all in vain. If it is built upon Christ, and thus the gospel, thus according to the Word of God, it will remain. And the servant who labors in those means, the Word of God, and the gospel will receive a reward as is due. It says the church is the temple of God. That tabernacling presence of God resides within you by the Holy Spirit. And yet, here the Corinthian church are still living fleshly lives. There's jealousy and strife among them, division. But if the Holy Spirit is working in you, then He is against division. He's against strife. He's against jealousy. If there be any who destroys God's temple, any who destroy you, God will destroy that person because you are holy. Because you're beloved Christian in Christ, you are holy. And then Paul goes back to what he was talking about in chapter 2 and prior, rooting it in that foundation of what he's writing in this letter, the foundation of the gospel, that it is foolishness, the preaching of the gospel. It's foolishness. What we're doing and participating in here today is foolishness to the world. To be a true follower of Jesus Christ in this world, one needs to be, in the world's eyes, a fool. Why? Because the wisdom of the world is foolishness to God. But even the wise of this world are useless, he says, verse 20. And that's why, beloved, that you are not to boast in men. Ministers and elders are for the church, not the foundation of the church. Servants of the Lord are not the foundation of the church. They are servants of the church. And all servants, not only you elders, but all even biblically ordained elders throughout the world are for our good. It's not just our elders that are for our good. It's all elders throughout the world that have been given by God for our good. And so thus, if we are Christ, all things are ours, upon no other ground than our being Christ's. Outside of Jesus, we are without title, claim, anything that is good. We have the privilege of hell and damnation outside of Jesus. But here we learn that we are not to look to any minister or elder or any teacher or servant of Christ and praise them, worship them. But rather, we are to turn to Christ alone, in whom we receive all things, and we are to proclaim Christ alone and His Word alone in this world, and that is our calling as Christians. And yet here are the Corinthians who are not doing that. There's jealousy, there's strife, their foundation is not the gospel. There's the gospel there, they believe the gospel, but it's, I'm more spiritual than you. Another person over here, I speak in tongues, or I have this great knowledge, and so I'm better than you. And their foundation was not there. They're not viewing themselves as servants to the Lord. They're viewing themselves as, let's be like Paul, let's be like Apollos. These great men who are worshipped, they would think, and praised. But such men should not be worshipped and praised, only God alone. And any servant of God should be worshiping God alone and pointing others to worship God alone in Christ Jesus. Beloved, let's pray now. Our Father, we thank You for Your word here in 1 Corinthians 3. We thank You that You are a God who loves the church, who loves the building, who loves the temple of God, Your people. We know that You also, as we hopefully love as well, Your Son Jesus Christ, who is the foundation of the church, that our goal in life would be to bring You glory, and we know that we bring You glory in the proclamation of the gospel throughout this world, wherever we go, whoever we come in contact with. We thank You that You are a God who has given us Your Spirit, because we know without Your Spirit we also are nothing. We have no strength. We have no ability. We are not enabled to do the work before us that You call us to do. So we thank You for Your Spirit. And yet, Father, we pray that we would not look at other people in the church and think of ourselves more highly than we ought. That we would not look to preachers or teachers or pastors or elders or any speaker and praise and worship them. If such, as we see in Scripture, angels should not be worshipped, then how much less should man? In fact, men should not be worshipped or praised at all, nor should angels. But Your Son alone should be worshipped, because He is greater than the angels. He's greater than Moses. He's greater than Aaron. He's greater than all the Old Testament ceremonial sacrificial system, which all pointed to Him. He's greater than all of that, because He's the once for all sacrifice for our sins. We thank You that He is the guarantee of a better covenant. We thank You that He is our propitiation, our wrath bearer, so that we would not have to bear Your wrath against us. We thank You that He removed our guilt in His sacrifice on the cross. And so, Lord, as we think upon such things, let our foundation be the gospel of Jesus Christ in our lives. And let it be the focus of our calling. Even though each of us here works in different areas, even some of us are students, some of us work at home, Some of us are retired. Lord, we ask that our focus in our lives and our callings and those callings, that greater than such callings on this earth, working and being students, that our greater calling is to proclaim the gospel to a dying world who believes we are fools through such foolishness as preaching and proclamation of your word. We pray that you would unify and unite our church. We thank you that so much as we see, we are fairly united and there is little to no jealousy or strife amongst us. And yet when there is, it is dealt with quickly and reconciliation happens as far as we see. We thank you for that. We praise you for that, for it is only a sign that you are working amongst us by your Spirit. Because if we had that division, we had that strife and jealousy, it would be an indication that we would be living fleshly lives like the world. So we thank you that you are God who has been sanctifying us and continues to do so, perfecting us at the right time. We look forward to that day when we will have no more sin, because we hate sin, and we will have no more tears or pain or sorrow, especially in our bodies, those especially who are older of us, who struggle with our bodies. So Lord, heal our bodies that we might serve you better. And yet if it be that our bodies remain struggling, use our struggling bodies to serve and honor you more. Equip us for the work. Train us through your word. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.